Welcome. Are you ready to take a journey with me into knowledge, enlightenment, and discovery? Then let's journey again together. This is your host, Rebecca Jernigan, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. And boy, do I have a great show for you today. Again, we have two guests today. Marie D. Jones, author of Science, and also an astrological update from Nancy Miller Ogren. It's going to be a great show. But first, direct you over to the website. That's journeyswithrebecca.com. Now there you can find out about my guests, links. Also, you can subscribe to my weekly newsletter. Remember, we don't sell or distribute your name in any way. You'll get a weekly newsletter giving you updates on who's going to be on, what the topic is, any new news that isn't yet quite posted to the website. Okay, now I also want to do a quick reminder. Sandy Andrew, who is the author of the Universal Learning Series, is going to be doing a book signing at Borders Bookstore. Now, the address is 5201 North Belt Highway, and that's in St. Joseph, Missouri. Now, he's going to be there February 3rd at 2 p.m. Now, there's a couple ways that you can find out more. You can either call 816-279-6111 or log on to UniversalLearningSeries.com. Okay, now back to my guest, Marie D. Jones. Now she's the author of Science. It is spelled P-S-I-E-N-C-E. How new discoveries in quantum physics and new science may explain the existence of paranormal phenomena. Now, you know, Marie has been involved with the paranormal in one way or the other most of her life, which led to a fascination with quantum physics and the writing of her new book. Now, Marie is also a New Thought metaphysics minister and spiritual counselor. She does hold a master's degree in metaphysical science. She studied Wicca, goddess traditions, mythology, and comparative religions. She's also worked as a field investigator for MUFON, that's the Mutual UFO Network, in Los Angeles and San Diego in the 1980s and 1990s. Now, she is married, and she has a son, Max, and she resides in San Marcos, California, where she does continue her pursuit for knowledge for both natural and the supernatural. So log on to her website, MarieDJones.com. You guys, hang with us. We're going to be right back.
Journeys with Rebecca is sponsored by Fate Magazine, providing true accounts of the strange and unknown for over 58 years. To receive your free copy of Fate Magazine, call 800-728-2730 or log on to fatemag.com.
Do you want to understand more of the nature of the universe? Why is there billions of galaxies and trillions upon trillions of star systems in our known universe? Why do we sense we are eternal beings? Why do we have different personalities? Where do our emotions and dreams emanate from? Where do the visions of deja vu come from? Your Never-Ending Life Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series introduces the philosophical theory of universal learning. The theory of universal learning focuses on you, the never-ending eternal spirit, developing an understanding of the transcendent scale of the universe and the learning the ways of the Creator. Your Never-Ending Life explores such subjects as past lives, karma, emotional control, and superior spirit. For more information on this book, visit UniversalLearningSeries.com. Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series, is available at Barnes & Noble, Borders, and online at Amazon.com.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome back, and yes, another Journeys with Rebecca and a very special guest today. Our guest today is Marie Jones, and she has a book that I'm sitting here looking at right now that she'd sent to me, and I had an opportunity to look through it, and it's called Science, and it is spelled P-S-I-E-N-C-E, and my first reaction when I looked at this book was Psy, science. So this is a very, very interesting book. It covers on new discoveries in quantum physics, new science that may explain the existence of paranormal phenomena. Let's welcome Marie to the show. Hi, Marie.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Oh, what a pleasure it is to have you here. You know, your book, as I was refreshing myself, because I had received the book way before the holidays, and of course you know how that stuff goes. And so, you know, I had had a chance to look through it then, and then I had to go back in and kind of re-evaluate it again, or re-look at it again tonight, before we got started today. And I remembered all of the diagrams and all of the pictures and everything that you did as you were explaining this whole
book.
They
really help you kind of grasp those complex concepts.
Yes.
To have a simple picture.
Yes. Because technically, I think there's more out there than isn't that are more visually oriented. In other words, if they can see it, it's one thing to read it, but it's quite yet another to see it. They're more hands-on kind of thing. So it really does help when we're talking about quantum physics and things of that nature. Many people out there that are listening are certainly not physicists or even maybe even engineers and that kind of thing, to where scientific data correlations and that kind of thing is not of their normal world, obviously. So it really is spectacular. I want to let you know that really really grabs the whole concept of the text that you were writing in the book. So it's really cool.
And it was difficult because there were some concepts for which I couldn't come up with a graphic or a picture. And so really I had to just make everything as simple as I could, so that I figured if I could understand it, because I'm not a scientist, then other people will understand it. So I tried to really write in the most simple language and, you know, the broader concepts, and where I could come up with or find an illustration or a graphic, I did.
Well, and what worked out really well. Let's talk a little bit, because one of the things you did mention was that you weren't a scientist, but one of the things that you are is you're an investigator of metaphysics and the paranormal. You also say that this latest discovery in quantum physics and what you call new science could explain the existence of UFOs, ghosts, poltergeists, time anomalies, that's an interesting one, the Bermuda Triangle, energy vortexes or vortices, and psychic abilities such as ESP and telekinesis. Interesting.
Just about everything.
You know, one of the things I want to talk to you about is the thing that you call time anomalies. How does quantum physics help us with maybe the theory or the understanding about time anomalies? And maybe, I guess, first of all, why don't I let you tell everyone what a time anomaly is? And then let's go into kind of a little bit of that. I don't want to get you too far off track in the very beginning, but that one just...
No, we can start with time. That's a good one. You know, a lot of people have experiences where they can access the future, information from the future, or they can access a past life, or they may have what's called a time slip or a time storm, where they actually have an experience that affects them on a physiological level, where they have missing time, or they find themselves losing time and appearing somewhere else 3 hours later and not knowing how they got there. People that have gone through the Bermuda Triangle and lived to tell about it report changes in the way time passes, either a slowing down and almost a ceasing of time. Those are the anomalies that I was looking at. And how they relate to quantum physics is that on the quantum level, there's no such thing as linear time. It's all happening at once. The past, present, and future is part of a landscape that exists all at once. And in the quantum world, we should be able to have access to that landscape just as particles do in the quantum level. We're also told in quantum physics that objects can communicate faster than light, which, you know, on our physical existence, we don't believe we can ever surpass. And so time can really be tweaked and distorted at the quantum level, and that opens up the possibility that it can be happening on the bigger macrocosmic level, and that might explain a lot of these time anomalies that are going on.
Okay, so here's a question for you, and I don't know if you can answer this or not answer this, but it's just a question. So if we know, and most of us do know that this is linear time, and that it's truly an illusion. That
right.
we have used this kind of setting, if you will, so that it allows us to function in a social
exactly.
level with everyone here on the Earth plane at this time, and it's just a mechanism that's been put into place.
Right, and it serves a good purpose.
It does. It keeps order, I guess.
Helps us get through our days.
Right. However, if somebody was to really look at the whole theory on quantum physics and truly know from a cellular level that it really that linear time doesn't truly exist, could there? I mean, the realms of possibility are just unimaginably unlimited as far as what the consciousness can do. Am I right?
Right. And okay. the thing is that we just may not know the mechanism. And for some people, they'll tell you that it during meditation or intense prayer, that they'll have those moments of timelessness where they're exposed to that implicate order of reality where time is not linear. But that happens in such a flash of an instant. It's not something that we can access all the time, and I think it was meant to be that way. Because like you said, if we don't have that linear time, we're not going to be able to get through our lives. It's going to be totally chaotic. We would be caught in the past, present, and future all at once. So something in our brain or in our consciousness needs to see that illusion of linear time. And yet we also should have access to nonlinear time, the way that it really is. And what that mechanism is, well, I believe it's our consciousness. I just don't believe that we are capable of tapping into that all the time. And some people can never do it at all, people that don't meditate or never quiet down for a second.
Well, and I've had time anomalies, and I had one recently. That's the reason why I, you know, pulled that one out of everything to begin with as
right.
far as talking about it. I find that more and more frequently for me that the time anomalies is as if I have been standing in a space, you know, like as an example, I've been standing in my kitchen. This is where it happened. I was standing in my kitchen, and I thought, well, I need to go check the mail. And within not even a blink of an eye, I knew I'd already been there and I was already back.
And, you know, I've had experiences like that, too, and I've also had extended experiences with déjà vu, which is a memory of a present moment. And what another theory in quantum and theoretical physics points out is that possibly we are moving every now and then between different dimensions.
I believe that's what some of our quote-unquote dream time is.
Exactly. And some people are possibly more susceptible to that than others. Some people can do it better than others. But, you know, something like déjà vu, you could be accessing the memory of what is going on right now in the present, but not in the dimension that you're in another dimension, in a parallel universe even.
Mm-hmm.
So that could explain some of those situations where you feel like, wait a minute, you know, where did those 3 hours go?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're not all, and not all of them are abductee issues, although those do happen.
Sure.
But that missing time is I experience that. It's like the last probably 5 years, I've experienced that more and more and more. And I'm not, like, working at it. It's just
right.
happening, you know, intermittently. So somewhere I've given myself permission to do
exactly.
that, which is okay.
Exactly. I was going to say, you're open to it.
Yeah.
And I think when you're open to something, you know, the synchronicities start happening. You start seeing, you're paying attention to it more, whereas before
right.
you might have just been so busy, you never even paid attention.
And, you know, that's something that I've tried to discuss with people about, that you... If you just get caught up in the mundane world, you miss all the subtleties in life.
Oh, absolutely.
And the subtleties are what it's really about. All this other stuff is just like foo-foo or, you know, frosting on a cake.
I don't know what it is with us, but the human species is very much into bogging the mind down with trivialities. Whether, you know, when you go out on the street, you see people, they're listening to their iPods, they're talking on their cell phones. Nobody wants to connect anymore.
Right.
It's all about information overload, And yet what that does is it drowns out the real important information that you might be getting were you to connect with either yourself or other human beings.
Or even other spiritual beings
exactly.
that are trying to make contact, whether
yes,
they be...
your surroundings, mm-hmm. nature, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I fully agree with that. In my busiest of times, you know, with the cell phone and you know, the home phone and, you know, every phone in the world seems like it's ringing in your ear
right.
and people are talking to you. That was the reason why I did what I did, which was to learn the skill of meditation.
Yes.
Because I knew I had to, you know, I call it my decompression.
Exactly.
I had to decompress. And I had to do it because it wasn't reality. It was something I was doing, but it wasn't my reality.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But imagine all the people out there that wouldn't even think that they needed to meditate or that they needed to quiet down. And they don't realize that they're missing, you know, this different level of reality because they're so caught up in the five senses and the information overload that's coming from outside of themselves.
And there is a wealth of that, Marie. There is a wealth of that. You know, a couple other things that I wanted to talk to you about. You talked a little bit about the deja vu thing.
Right.
A friend of mine just had an experience with that deja vu experience probably like 3 or 4 days ago, literally.
Uh-huh.
And his deja vu was an entire day.
Wow.
I found that extraordinary. I was like, gosh, I just get these little moments in time,
yeah.
deja vu things. And I was just like totally mesmerized by listening to the conversation. So, you know, he kind of just, you know, said, oh, well, you know, this day has already been here once, and this is what happened in this moment. So as I'm sitting there, you know, being, you know, clairvoyant and psychic as I am, I was like, he's got more information.
Right.
And I said, well, how much more deja vu did you experience? And he said, well, I know what the whole day is going to turn out like. And I said, really? I said, well, please explain. And so as he was explaining the day, and I was like, well, you understand what the purpose is of deja vu, right? And he was like, no. And I said, deja vu, for me, has always been when you look at a situation, a lot of times there's a lot of negative aspects to that deja vu. It is an opportunity to change that. And, of course, there was some negative aspects of the day, or should I say challenging aspects of the
right.
day. And as he's explaining it to me, I turned the whole thing around, put it into a different light, and changed the entire day so that that particular day did not go.
It wasn't the same.
It wasn't the
yeah.
same. And I believe that it is a mechanism that we can build in. It's kind of like knowing, it's like that intuitive moment that we have of making sure we don't run through that green light because somebody, we just somehow know that there's somebody coming through that's
exactly.
running the red light.
Exactly.
It's that same principle for me. It's like we build that in for us.
Yeah, and deja vu, when I have it for several minutes at a time. I've been able to extend it to several minutes, maybe 5 minutes. But beyond that, then it just shuts down. And I end up feeling that same way. It's like, you know, okay, I'm walking between two worlds here. Now, which one is trying to tell me something?
Which one am I supposed to apply this to?
Exactly.
Thank
which
you.
One am I going to end up, you know, carrying out to the full 24-hour day? But it also could be that we are experiencing a very brief interlude of ourselves in a parallel universe or in another level of reality.
You know, and I've thought about that, too. I thought, well, maybe this is just the bleed-through of another... you know, of another existence that I'm living on, you know, in another universe, and it's just kind of bleed
right.
through. Because I know that I do have those as well, that what I call the bleed through.
Right.
And I know many people that have that as well. It's not deja vu. It's a bleed through of another life
yeah.
or
and
another
I think
existence.
If you can get something positive out of it and make a change, then your intuition is coming into play.
Mm-hmm.
Saying you've done this before, don't do A, B, and C again. This time you're going to do C, B, and then A.
Or
have a whole
D all together, right?
Yeah, or just don't do any of them.
That's right. Well, you know, another thing that you had in your book, I'm going to kind of, let's talk about the psychic abilities, because, you know, people ask me that all the time. You know, I do private consultations.
Right.
And so, you know, one of the questions is how do you become psychic? Well, for me, it was a gift that I'd already had. What I had to learn to do was to train it.
Right.
So therein lies the difference, whereas people that are just wanting to explore it, then it becomes a different avenue for them. It becomes a different focus for them because, you know, they're already usually in their adulthood and they've already got trained or learned responses in their environment. Yes,
no,
exactly.
It's hard to get over that. I think everybody has that ability, but it's like musical talent. Some people can sing beautifully and other people
it's a joke in my house. I said I used to make my babies cry when I sang. That is just not one of my fortes, you know.
But I think it's it's inherent in everyone, but not everybody knows how to let it kind of come out naturally. And I think when people try to force it, that's when they get the least amount of results.
It's true. It is. You have to let it flow, and in order to let it flow, sometimes you also have to learn the limitations. Maybe it's just something, even though it's something you want to do, maybe it's not what you're supposed to be doing.
Exactly.
So,
it's just like any gift or talent. You some people succeed at it and some don't, and that's the path that was set out before you.
Right.
But I think at some point in just about everybody's lives, they have an experience where they open up to that fact that, you know, there psychic abilities to me are the most explainable of the psi phenomena. I mean, I don't see how anybody could deny that they exist. There are so many people that have those abilities.
And there's more and more every day
that
is, you know, opening up to it. And along that same line, you talk about psychic abilities such as ESP and telekinesis.
Right.
Now, ESP, extrasensory perception, where do you classify that in as a psychic ability? Or are you using it as a general term?
I'm using it as a general term.
Now, telekinesis.
I think all psychic abilities, any kind of mind over matter, any kind of mind connecting with other mind, I kind of grouped under the psi, ESP / PSI. And, you know, really, quantum physics applies to those types of phenomena the most because of the basic laws of quantum physics, like non-locality and entanglement, really allow for communication and faster than light the travel of thought. Because if we know that particles can communicate with each other over vast distances instantaneously, then we can apply that as well to the energy of thought, which would explain how you can know somebody's calling or you just have a psychic premonition. And also, something called the zero-point field that I talk about a lot in the book.
Oh, I'm glad you're getting to that because I really... And, you know, let's not get into that too much because we only got like a little over a minute or so.
Okay, well, wait on
this
next
one
segment.
Because that one's going to be a little bit of a long conversation.
One.
Yeah, it is. I know that. That's going to be cool. Well, let's talk along the ESP, the telekinesis, the mind over matter. You know, as a young child, I sat one day, I used to have this little vanity, and I had, and there's going to be some people out here who don't know what this is, but an atomizer. You know,
oh,
that's
the perfume?
You, yes.
Oh, okay,
and
I know what it is.
Yeah, but there's some people that don't know, I mean, because they just don't use that anymore. But it's a little spray that you used to pour your perfume in, and you would spray it, and it was had a little bulb on it, and it misted you with perfume. And I was sitting there one day, and of course I'm like 9, 10 maybe, I don't know, I wasn't very old. There wasn't a thought in my mind that I wanted to move that object, but I became very focused on this atomizer kind of daydreaming kind of thing.
Right.
And that thing just moved across the table. And, you know, of course, that freaked you out, freaked me out, because I looked around and I was like, what was that? And I've never been able to do that in that manner yet again. So I know I've got to get rid of those blocks. But
I think when we're children, we're so open.
Oh, we are.
So connected. We are so in the flow.
And you guys, hang on. Don't go away, because we're going to be right back. You can't judge a psychic on TV because of producer-induced theatrics and clever editing. But now you can analyze famous psychics including Derek Acora, Peter James, Linda McKenzie, and Dana Smoller in the new DVDs ISPR Investigates the Comedy Store and ISPR Investigates Crest Hill Mansion. It's all raw and uncensored footage from 1999. showcasing how psychics really communicate with earthbound entities in the field. The new ISPR DVDs are available at JourneysWithRebecca.com. It makes the perfect gift for the paranormal enthusiast on your list.
Get your personal and private reading from Rebecca. To schedule an appointment, call 1-888-95-TAROT. That's 1-888-958-2768. Find out where your life's journeys will take you.
I don't get it. Why aren't people buying our tennis balls?
You got me.
I mean, they're fuzzy, they're yellow, they're bouncy.
Oh, well, no doubt about it. We have the bounciest balls in the business.
If people knew how bouncy our balls
are, they would be bouncing on tennis courts from North Carolina to California.
Instead, they buy our competitors' clearly inferior balls.
Smack their balls a few hundred times and the fuzz falls right off.
And soon their balls are totally bald and barely bouncy at all.
What do we need to do to get people to try our tennis balls?
We've got to get the word out.
Word out, word out. Hey, maybe we should advertise.
Now, that costs money, and we don't have much money.
So, yeah, I don't want to advertise until we have more money.
Which we'll get when we sell more balls and
make
some
profit.
So, we don't need to advertise. We just need to wait.
For what?
For profits.
You're absolutely right.
Sometimes I'm so brilliant I actually scare myself.
Yeah, gave me goosebumps.
Can I see one?
Hold on.
While you're waiting, your competitors aren't. They know something you don't know. It's called advertising, and it works. So get on the ball. This message brought to you by this station, the Radio Advertising Bureau, and produced by the Famous Radio Ranch.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Oh, welcome back, and thank you for staying with us. And if you've just joined us, our guest here today is Marie Jones, author of the book called Science, P-S-I-E-N-C-E. I kind of looked at it as Psy Science. That's kind of how I read it. Read it three or four times, and no, it's just science with a P in the front of it. And with the last segment, we really had some really great conversations about some different things, time anomalies and, you know, ESP, psychic abilities, telekinesis, that kind of thing. But then you mentioned zero point. And that is a subject that, of course, I first was introduced to it through Greg Braden's book.
Oh, yeah.
Zero Point. And fascinating, of course, then that got into the, you know, learning about the quantum physics and, you know, things of that nature, and the whole quantum theory and stuff. So this is really kind of an interesting thing, and you've really done a very good job in the book with the diagrams trying to show a little bit about that zero point and what it is. So I'm going to kind of let you run with the zero point thing, because that whole concept or whole theory there is really fascinating.
Well, what's exciting about the zero point field is that when you start to talk about it and research it and look into it, you start getting very metaphysical.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is literally a grand ground state of energy in the universe, which is how physicist Hal Pudoff puts it, and I love that description, that you might equate with the Force from Star Wars.
Right.
It's a field of energy. It's like an ocean of energy that we're swimming in. It permeates every inch of what we thought was empty space. But we don't know how vast and huge it is, just as a fish doesn't quite know how big the ocean is that it's swimming in. And it's energy that is vibrating even at zero temperature. It is the lowest, most fundamental vibratory form of energy. And it is literally a base and fundamental source of every other field, every other force, every other type of energy, matter. Theoretical physicists are thinking that perhaps the zero point field includes the entire landscape of time, every thought, memory, action, intention, behavior, anything that has ever happened and ever will happen is included in this field in its most fundamental form. And that begins to sound real metaphysical. It sounds like the Akashic Records of Edgar Cayce or the Book of Life that you could tap into to look at the past or the future or access other people's memories or communicate with people across vast distances. And all of this, it has potential to be found in the zero-point field. But another really exciting thing is that it is a fundamental, unlimited source of self-regenerating energy that is currently being researched to possibly one day fuel our homes, our cars, our own rocket ships to other planets. And possibly it has already been put to use by advanced civilizations. And that could explain how UFOs are getting from there to here. So it's really exciting. It's got huge potential. We know that zero-point energy does exist. We have not yet found a way to extract it beyond a little teeny tiny bit of it. But the fact that it is unlimited and self-regenerating means that once we do that, the sky is literally the limit.
Okay, here's a theory. I want to see what you think about this theory. And the reason why I was so excited is because I haven't talked to very many people about this. This is my theory on the Mayans. You know, because the Mayan calendar, you know,
right.
they talked about that, you know, I mean, like, this is a huge thing. So I spent a few years in the research and the study of the Mayans, more from the metaphysical, not from the physical side of how did they live and
right.
what did they stand for and all of that, so much as it was, okay, they never found bones, they never found anything that was suggested how they left. And I kept saying, I'm telling you, there's a portal, there was something, and it was like they just all left at the same time.
Maybe they saw what was coming and decided to get off the planet.
Well, for me, it gets to the zero point field that you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
It, you know, it, true enough that they were an advanced civilization. I mean, obviously they weren't as advanced in some ways as we are now, but certainly in others they were more advanced.
Right.
In other things that they did by utilizing the natural things that were around them, you know, to live, to eat, to survive, to, you know, prosper and go forward.
Right.
But then all of them made a mass exit all at once.
I think they were probably more advanced in understanding reality than we were. I mean, we're more advanced in technology and killing each other and making weapons and polluting our air. Our advances are quite different from theirs. And you're right. They could have figured out a way to tap into the ZPS. They could have figured out a way to use it to go somewhere else or to enter another parallel universe or another dimension that was more appealing to them for whatever reason. Or maybe they did it by accident. Because I do think that there are civilizations in the past that were far more advanced when it came to metaphysics and understanding science, the way nature works and reality, than we are now, right? I mean, our advances are all technological, they're all military, they're all very surface advances.
They are. There's nothing spiritual or metaphysical or
certainly
psychic about them at all. Nothing. Most of them, anyway. So that's why I thought, you know, when you started talking about the zero-point field in your book, I was like, I'm telling you, there's something there. I wish I could find the words of what it is that I see. And I can't always articulate the vision
right.
that I have.
And
I'm not sure that I wasn't part of it. I don't know. I don't, you know, can't quite describe to anyone.
Right.
But my feeling is that there is something there. There's something that we're missing. And I think it's still out in the jungles out there somewhere
that
nobody can get to. That there's a place, a point, a spot or something. And it gets into the zero point in accessing the very basis of what we're all made of.
Exactly. It's, you know, the fundamental source of all things.
Yes. Be it whatever that is.
Right.
You know, calling it zero point energy, it could be the source of all that is. It could be
and
that
there are,
particular
there are being. People that are bold enough to say, this sounds like God. It's
yes.
It's creative. Obviously, it is putting forth matter and energy and mass. So it has the creative aspect to it, and it's very godlike. It doesn't have any judgment. It's totally neutral. But I really like equating it with that force.
Well, and I do too. And one of the questions that was in some of your things that you had sent over to me was, what are the parallels between ancient religions and modern quantum physics? And
exactly.
We're touching on that a little bit here.
Exactly, because I think that before all of this technology swooped down on us and closed us off to really paying attention, you know, they say God is in the details. Well, how are you going to ever see that if you're focused on your, you know, the movie on your cell phone?
Exactly, or what pairs of shoes
right.
you're going to wear, or what shopping trip you're going to take.
Exactly,
or whatever.
How much gas is this week?
Yep.
But, you know, in ancient religions and spiritual traditions, they were very much in tune with their surroundings. They had to be for survival purposes, but also because they didn't have all the other distractions at the time. And so they very well could have made all of these same discoveries that we're just now sort of rediscovering.
Well, see, that's, here's my whole thought process with the science thing. What we're now learning about, I believe, has already been known by many, many other civilizations.
Absolutely.
Way prior to its being here. It's just that, you know, that's why I've always felt that science, or math even, is not an absolute.
No, and you know, I think that science can explain everything, but it we need to catch, our scientists just have not caught up. I think that there is a science and a pattern and a method to everything. We just don't know what it is. We may not even have the brain capacity to understand that. But everything also has an essence, and that's
yes.
where I think spirituality comes into play. And the ancient peoples, they knew a lot more about reality than we did, because they were not distracted by so much illusion.
And that's a true, very,
yeah.
so very true.
We're just surrounded by illusion.
Well, our whole world is built on that. And there's a grand design to that, negative or positive, however you
right.
want to look at that. And, you know, the other thing that you talked about, too, was about, you know, we glossed over it just a little bit about UFOs. And you mentioned in your book that they could use wormholes to traverse between the universes.
Right.
So explain wormholes for people so that they might understand that concept of how extraterrestrial beings are coming here and there and everywhere.
Well, a wormhole, it's a theoretical concept. We haven't proven that they exist. We do know black holes exist. A wormhole would be a black hole with a white hole at the other end and a sort of a shortcut, a tunnel in between. And it would connect either two points in our universe, two points in different universes, or even two points in time, say connecting the present to the past or the past to the future. And basically, it's just a shortcut through the space-time continuum where you have an opening, and that would be the black hole, and you have an exit, and that would be the white hole. And we don't know if they exist, but theoretically, they're possible. If they do, and if advanced civilizations have figured out how to get through the black hole and the white hole without being completely destroyed by the gravitational pull and the point of singularity and all this stuff, then they very well could be using those as shortcuts to get through those massive distances of space and time. They could be coming from one dimension to another through a wormhole. So it's really just a shortcut that theoretical physicists are looking at relationship to black holes.
You know, and I've said this a lot of times, some of the stuff that we have seen in our sci-fi movies, I believe is the basis in fact, whether anybody recognizes it when they're sitting there down there writing a screenplay or what have you. But I truly believe that this is, that their mechanisms put into place to let people know that these things really do exist, and they've existed before. So that's
right.
kind of a theory I have in there.
Well, I believe that because I love to write fiction, and I love reading, and I love reading science fiction. You know, H.G. Wells and Jules Verne and Lewis Carroll, who wrote Alice, The Adventures of Alice in Wonderland, they were predicting things long before scientists were onto them. And Einstein was a real advocate for the imagination. And I think he understood that everything starts in the imagination.
It does.
And the imagination is our connection to those other realities. We think the imagination is useless and something that we shouldn't be paying attention to because it doesn't, you know, it's not...
serving a purpose,
exactly.
being directed or focused.
Right. It's
yes.
not, yeah, we're not making money at it and
right.
progressing our careers.
Right.
But the imagination is that link. It's where consciousness gets to run free and tap into all kinds of wonderful ideas. And what I think is really neat is when you find, I hang out with a lot of writers, and what's really amazing is sometimes you'll find an idea that is spreading around the writing community like wildfire. And you realize that mass consciousness has this incredible power.
Yes.
And, you know, when it's the time for an idea, it will just explode, and all of a sudden everybody is thinking the same thought, and that's when you begin to manifest those ideas into realities.
That is absolutely a true statement. You've said that very, very well. Now, Marie, we're almost out of time here, dear. I cannot tell you how fascinating your book, Science, is.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, as you stated here, Science and the Supernatural, they do converge in science. I recommend this book highly. Can you let everyone know your website, how they can get a hold of you, how they can get a hold of this fabulous book that you have written?
I sure will.
It's such a joy to have you here today.
Oh, thank you. Well, they can reach me at www.mariedjones.com. They can email me through the website. And the book can be bought anywhere books are sold, brick-and-mortar stores, online bookstores, Amazon.com. It's everywhere.
And I will tell you is that the information in this book is a must-read for people because it really does explain many, many things that people are feeling, sensing, they know about, but they don't quite know how to put it or to word it or how to, you know, collate the thoughts together, you know, to make
right.
them congeal. This book is absolutely fabulous for that. It does explain a lot of things that people are already experiencing out there, Marie. I want to tell you thank you so much, and I know that soon enough we're going to have you back on here at Journeys, and thank you so much
I hope so. I'd love to come back. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. You guys will be right back.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life and by others just like you who have something dramatic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on all aspects of the paranormal, angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now, 800-728-2730, or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730, or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate waits.
Do you want to understand more of the nature of the universe? Why is there billions of galaxies and trillions upon trillions of star systems in our known universe? Why do we sense we are eternal beings? Why do we have different personalities? Where do our emotions and dreams emanate from? Where do the visions of deja vu come from? Your Never-Ending Life Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series introduces the philosophical theory of universal learning. The theory of universal learning focuses on you, the never-ending eternal spirit, developing an understanding of the transcendent scale of the universe and the learning the ways of the Creator. Your Never-Ending Life explores such subjects as past lives, karma, emotional control, and the superior spirit. For more information on this book, visit universallearningseries.com. Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series is available at Barnes & Noble, Borders, and online at Amazon.com.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Journeys, and we are here with my very, very favorite resident astrologer, Nancy Miller Ogren. Welcome again to the show, my dear.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, this is so much fun. It's always so much fun to talk about all the astrological movements and all of that. And, you know, last month we talked about, for the month of January, we gave everyone that whole show on the 2007 overview, and I thought it was just absolutely fabulous, by the way. And I did want to mention, for those of you who might have missed that show, to please definitely check out the archives. And those archives are located at jwrradio.com, free of charge, as always, to the listeners of Journeys with Rebecca. All right, so we're moving right along in 2007. Whoa.
Yes,
it just goes by faster and faster. It just does. So you're here to talk to us about February 1st and 2nd. So I'm going to kind of let you run with it right now, girl.
Well, I think it's exciting because I think we needed, and I did say this on the year-end or year-forward show, we have this wonderful Leo full moon coming up on the February 1st, 2nd, late February 1st into the 2nd. And I think it's going to be what really helps us feel like we're getting a grip and we're getting connected to what it is, all of the end of the year, whatever experiences we had, and stepping into, we had that Cancer new moon right at the beginning, the 3rd, and then we had the Capricorn new moon on the January 18, 19. And so now I think we're feeling like, okay, I want to feel excited. I want to, that Leo energy, I want to start something new. And I'll tell you something, being in Colorado, I'd want to start anything I could new and have it not have anything to do with snow.
And mine is ice.
Yes. And I feel like, I think we need this fire, literally, we need this fire to open our heart and warm us up and get us moving and have us feel like I'm looking to the future. I'm looking to what is it I'm going to do now, and how is it I want to see this, and how is it I want to open to this. And I really think it's also because of the fire, and again, because of kind of all of this weather, which is disconcerting. Wherever it is, when it was warm in New York, they were nervous.
Right, you know, exactly.
When it's freezing in L.A., it makes people nervous because
yes.
It really, we know it's not something under our control. And this is where I think we have to really honor that body, mind, spirit. I think with Leo, it very much wants attunement. And so this is where you make the effort to go to an indoor pool, take a bath in warm, flowing water. Do things that make you feel back in that fire and flow, and that you feel like you've got so much to look forward to. What do you want to have happen? Take a step on anywhere. Make that phone call. Anything that you can do to feel like you're taking your present into your future, and that you're excited because it's a full moon. You're affirming that you have the tools to take life forward. I think we've spent too many years behaving as though somebody has to get us out of the state we're in, and the only person who can get us out of any state is ourselves.
And that is so true. That is absolutely so true. And, you know, I like your recommendation about, you know, getting into something, doing something warm, especially for those that are experiencing cold weather, and even in the places that are normally not cold and they're experiencing cold weather. It's a wonderful opportunity to warm yourself, and as you do, it warms your heart, warms your mind and spirit and soul. Now is the perfect time to do that because it does make you feel rejuvenated. Even if it is a softer energy, it's still a rejuvenation. It's still that fire that we're looking for. And fire and warmth makes us feel buoyant. It makes us feel energetic. It makes us feel comfortable. And
exactly.
So there you go.
Exactly. And again, with Leo, you're really activating that. What are you looking forward to creating? Whatever it is, it can be dinner, it can be elaborate, it can be a mural, it can be whatever you want it to be. But the idea that you've got to have that creative activity now, and embrace this moon and say I'm getting back on track. And I think, like I said, I think for everyone, I think from the holidays through January, it has been kind of trying to get order back and trying to find the direction forward and all of that. And so take Leo and say, I'm ready. I'm definitely ready. Leo loves to step up to not only a challenge. I used to think Leos made me weary because they always were up to a challenge. But I think we have to agree that it's time to get into that state and allow ourselves and offer ourselves something stimulating to be doing.
And absolutely. And you know, while we're talking along the lines of taking action, let's talk about some of the things that you and I can do to help people out there. You guys out there that are listening, you can send Nancy and myself an email question, astrologically/intuitively directed, and we will answer for you one question right on the air, and we will email you back to let you know that we have received a request and when and that we will be doing your question and answering it on the air. So mailbag at journeyswithrebecca.com. There's a link right there on the front page. Please send us your questions because we'd love to assist you. And you know, it's not too late, Nancy, for you to also talk to people about your guide that you have, and I'd like you to share that information as well as how people can get a hold of you.
Absolutely. That would be the Moonways Guide, which is a calendar journal with each new moon and full moon of the month and information about it and all of that. And you can get that by email or going on my website, www.nancymillerogren.com, and you can see that and order it through the website if you want to, and I'd be happy to send that to you and get you on track. You make those affirmations on the full moons and those intentions on the new moons, and your life takes on a sense of order
and purpose and direction.
Absolutely.
Purpose and direction, and that's the
thing.
That's
exactly right. What it's about.
And keep us focused. And you also do, as I do, a mailing list, but yours is a moon mailing list.
Yes, it is.
And I do want to let everyone know out there that Nancy nor myself do we distribute, sell, or otherwise give to anyone an email address if you would like to be on either the Journeys newsletter, which is right there on the front page of my website, and then Nancy's, you can sign up right on her website for the moon mailing. And you send that out, what, twice a month, right?
Yes, I do. Each moon, and it's free. And it's nancyogren@comcast.net. And you just say moon mailing in the subject, and you've got it.
All right. Absolutely excellent. Well, you know what, guys? It's the time is done here for us for a little bit today. But Nancy will be back in a couple weeks, so send us those emails. We look forward to them so much. And Nancy, thank you for being here with us. And
thanks for having me.
You guys, don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of Journeys in just a moment. Hi, this is Rebecca. You know, it's easy to keep up with all the latest Journeys news, my upcoming guest. Just sign up to receive the Journeys newsletter. It's free, and you will never receive any junk mail. Your email is never sold or distributed. So keep up to date the easy way. Just log on to my website, journeyswithrebecca.com, and at the bottom of the main page, you'll see the box. Type in your email address, and you're done. And once a week or so, you'll receive all the latest Journeys news.
Get your personal and private reading from Rebecca. To schedule an appointment, call 1-888-95-TAROT. That's 1-888-958-2768. Find out where your life's journey will take you.
Hello, I'm Jane Goodall, only half of the world's forests and wetlands that existed at the start of the 20th century still exist today. We must do a far better job of protecting wildlife habitats, or environmental chaos awaits those who follow us. If you own land you want kept safe forever, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. 1-800-729-SAVE.
Hi, this is Rebecca Jernigan with a plea. Won't you support your local animal shelter? You know our four-legged friends, they give us loyalty and love and companionship. Don't they deserve our help? Adopt, volunteer, or donate. Get active and support the animal shelter in your area. What a wonderful show. I do hope you enjoyed it. A reminder to check out my website. That's journeyswithrebecca.com. And please email me. Tell me what you thought of today's show. That's mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. A special thanks to the sponsors of Journeys, Fate Magazine since 1948. Fate is the longest running publication of its kind. You can find out more at fatemag.com. Also, Your Never-Ending Life, book one of the Universal Learning Series by Sandy Andrews. To find out more about him, go to universallearningseries.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time. Blessings to each and every one of you. And goodbye for now.